I know that I am supposed to preach from one of the Gospels today. I know that the story of the cross and the story of the crucifixion is in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John. I know that today is Easter. Get your Bibles out and turn to Genesis. Get your Bibles out and turn to Genesis. Cassandra, you got your seatbelt? Oh, put it on, sweetheart. Put it on, sweetheart. I've been thinking of you all day yesterday, all day today. Oh, we got just, it's like multi McNuggets, all right? We're going nugget-fied. We're full of stuff today. I'm so excited. All right. Listen, the father of many nations, the father who would have children that would number greater than the seas and the stars in the sky and the sands on the ocean, Father Abraham. And as you know, he had many sons. Many sons. And Father, I'm one of them. So are you. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Here we go. Abraham is the father of everything that we know and that we believe and that we love as far as the human race goes. When the genealogy begins, it is assured in our genealogy for the Jewish people that it runs through the bloodline of David and the bloodline of Abraham, all right? So we're going to Abraham today. We're going to look at maps. We're going to learn Hebrew. Come on. Here we go. Sometime later. Now you got to understand, Abraham was an old man by this time. We're talking about nearly a century he had been alive, all right? All right? He's over 100 at this time, okay? He had been given a son named Isaac, all right, when his wife was in her 90s. Okay? Yes, some of you women are like, oh, no. All right? I know, I'm 45, and I'm like, all right? Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Here's what he said. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, Abraham replied. God said, take your son. And I want you to notice how this sentence plays out. Take your son, comma, your only son, comma, whom you love, Isaac. He builds. It's very important that he builds on that. Take your son, comma, your only son, comma, the one that you love, Isaac. That's important to have laying on your heart. And go to the region of Moriah. That's important. Sacrifice him there. I'm sorry, what? Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Listen, a burnt offering was laid on the altar, cut into pieces, and then burned before the Lord till there was nothing left. Take your son, whom you love, your only son, up to the mountain called Moriah and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the hilltop that I will point out to you. See, Moriah was a mountain, okay? But it was, you have to think of it like a big rising out of the ground, and there were different hills, peaks on this mountain. And the tallest one actually wasn't Moriah, but the largest section was called Moriah, but the whole base was the Mount of Moriah with other peaks on it. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded the donkey, and he took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the offering, he set out for the place God pointed out to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He saw where he was supposed to go, and it was like the Lord, it was like that moment. He knew where he was supposed to end up. And he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back for you. He can't get the words out about what's going to happen. He chooses not to share with these men what he's got to do, and he might not have followed through if he had to, you see? How do you talk about what's getting ready to go down? You don't. You don't. Sorry, I didn't go to that one. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke up and said, Father, come on, Dad, when you hear your kid's voice when you come home, when you hear your kid's voice, for us right now, it's the smile, when you lean over the crib and they go, oh, Father, yes, my son. The fire is here. The wood is here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb? Where's the lamb? You gotta go somewhere else. You're gonna mess me up. Where's the lamb? I know it. God himself will provide the lamb. I want you to listen, guys. God himself will provide the lamb. Are you starting to catch on? The burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. They did not stop. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built the altar, and there he arranged the wood on it. The boy carried the wood on his back, and then the wood is placed on the altar. And then he laid Isaac on top of the altar, on top of the wood. He reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. When I was 17 years old, I was on something called Sun Share. Kentucky, as a convention, had five teams of individuals that went out. A drama team, a singing team, a revival team, a creative ministries team, and a sports team. Okay? Sun Share, Sun Celebration, Sun Burst, Sun Praise, Sun Bound. Okay? And you auditioned for these spots. And when I was 17, I made one of those spots. No, I was 18. It was after my sophomore. I was 18. I made one of those spots, and I was on a drama team. And it was interesting because I was, you know, this big. I've always been this big. And there was another guy. His name was Scott Norris. We're Facebook friends now. It's been years. But and he was kind of taller, and he looked older than he was, all right? So you had a guy who was 18 and looked 12, and a guy who was 19 or 20 and looked 30, all right, which was perfect for this play that they did about every 5 years on this team called Mountaintop. It was a 20-minute play called Mountaintop, and it was a two-man play, and it was the playing out of the story of Abraham and Isaac. And this guy had written this, and you wove through the story on the stage, and you make an altar on the stage. And they had a knife, and we had two girls on the team, and Abraham, crying, would raise the knife up in the middle of the thing, had a knife in his hand. I was laying eyes closed on the altar, and he would come down, and the girls had to practice this a whole lot of times, but they would go, "Stop!" as he slammed down toward my chest. They'd each throw an arm out and stop him. And you'd watch all this play out as a camper. I mean, I'll never forget how that felt, how scared I was, and I knew nothing was happening, how powerful Scott was in this role as Abraham. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, and I want you to hear that he was making sure this didn't follow through. Abraham, Abraham! You know, just be, let's be clear. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have withheld your son, comma, your only son. Abraham looked up there in a thicket and saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over to the ram and sacrificed it. Abraham called that place, listen, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And here's what he said, you got to listen, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Another translation, on this mount God will provide. The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear, declares the Lord, that because you have not withheld this and your son, I will surely bless your descendants as numerous as the stars from the sky and the sand on the seashores. Your descendants will take possession of the cities, and through your offspring all nations and earth will be blessed. Listen, listen, listen. Through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. And they set off together. Sorry, I got going. To Beersheba. This word. Akedah. This word. Akedah. It is one of the words in the Bible for sacrifice. But this particular word for sacrifice also carries underneath it an implied covenant. You see, when you do a contract, you do something, you pay it, and you get something, and that's the end. But in a covenant, there is an implication that both sides are in this for the long haul, and both sides are willing to give for the other's needs. So there is a covenant in this Akedah, this sacrifice of Isaac, between God and Abraham, that God will also come through in the same way that Abraham has come through. The Akedah is the sacrifice and the covenant between, with an implication that both will give. I need you to see something. What is the name of the mountain that God told Abraham thousands of years prior, thousands of years prior to the New Testament? What was the hill that Abraham, or God told Abraham to go to? Moriah. Do you know where Moriah is? Do you know, church? Have you ever seen pictures of the city of Jerusalem? In the city of Jerusalem, there's a large building with a big round golden thing on top. It's called the Dome of the Rock. Do you know where it sits? Mount Moriah. The Temple of Jerusalem and the Dome on the Rock sits on the spot where Abraham and Isaac stopped. Let me show you a picture of what that looks like. Do you see how the mountain rises up, but there are different places that are taller? Let's zoom in. Over here is the Mount of the Rock. Let me see. There's supposed to be this really cool special thing on here. Let's see if we can make this work, church. That is a picture of the Temple of Jerusalem. Now, if I take my finger off, you can see everything, all right? Wait. Let me show you a different photograph. This is the same photograph, but you don't see the mountains as well, but you can see things better. Let's zoom in. Right here. Oh, let's telestrate. Hold on. I want to get it in here for you. Right here is the temple. You see that? Oh, I can even move it. All right. Watch. The city of Jerusalem is built with its central theme, the temple, on the spot where Abraham was buried. But Abraham said, on this mountain, I will follow through. God will provide. What do you see? Golgotha. What is that? Was there another story where a son, an only son, rode to a place on a donkey, had wood put on his back, was then laid on that wood on a mountain? Abraham and Isaac is the story of Easter, with one major difference. God followed through. He allowed Moses not to. Come on. Do you think when Abraham looked across from the hill he was on to the other hillside, something came over him? Do you think he understood the amount of symbolism, the amount of foreshadowing in this? Let me show you something else. I don't even know if you'll know this, Steve, Spence, Greg. This word is ahavta. ahavta. Does anybody know what this word means? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Up until Genesis chapter 22, you won't believe this, but this word has never appeared in the scripture till this chapter. There are 21 chapters of the Bible, 21 chapters about God, creation, fall, chasing people, 21 chapters about God, and this word has never appeared till right here. Verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, ahavta. It's the first time love appears. Love doesn't appear in the scriptures until the symbolic precedent to the cross of Jesus Christ and the love a father has for the son and love the son has for all the descendants of Abraham, which is the ahavta he has for you. When love comes down. How appropriate is that song? Preston, what are those words? The day that Jesus died, the day that... Keep going. The day that true love died. It doesn't use Jesus. It uses what? The day that true love died. The story of Easter is in Genesis. Because true love was found. True love was shown. True love was given. And then it completed, it tetelestied, it finished its work on the cross, and it gave us reason to celebrate on Sunday. When true love died, you didn't have to. When true love rose, you could share. You could have eternally. You could live. God is supposed to judge us. God is supposed to punish us. We are supposed to die. But you know what he did? He sent his son. So when Satan gets ready to swing the hammer, when Satan gets ready to come down with the knife, Jesus says, not today. Because true love died. They don't have to. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. These are my children, and I want them to be with me forever. Can I just say, I honestly don't care if you believe this happened or don't. I don't care if you believe that the sun rises and sets. I do not care. It changes it not. Because whether or not you believe in him, he died for you. Period. On a hill called Calvary. See, there comes a moment in every pastor's walk and every pastor's preparation where he thinks that there's something more he can say or something more he can do to get people to come to the altar, to get people to applaud or stand. I don't have that need. We were more emotionally moved while reading about a father having to sacrifice his son than we will ever be for anything that I will ever say. And there are no words that will ever come out of my mouth that will ever magnify, glorify, or bring any kind of gift to what God did for us. So I'm just going to stop. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. That is how we're going to celebrate what he did for us. And if in fact heaven came down, and if in fact glory fills your soul, if in fact you understand the ahavta, the love, that he has for you, if in fact you understand the sacrifice that he gave for you, then let your cup run over. If you need to hit the altar, come and hit it. If you got to come up to me and say, nope, leave the water in the pool. Next week, I'm being baptized. Next week, I'm celebrating Jesus. I don't care if you're a mom. I don't care if you're a dad. I don't care if you're a grandma. I don't care if you're 8 years old. If you want to celebrate the gift of the Son, come on down. The price is right. It's free. All you got to do is ask. Let's celebrate. God, you knit and weave your history, your creation in a way that we can't even fathom. In thousands of years on a mountain, you set into motion the wood. You set into motion the donkey. You set into motion the Father and the Son. You set into motion how you would save us from ourselves and how you ultimately would be glorified by our shortcomings, by our failures, because your Son would not fail. Your covenant would not be broken. Your will could not be deterred. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Emmanuel. God with us. His name is Jesus. God, all of these things we celebrate today. All of these things bring glory to you today. All of these things fill us with the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name.